Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI. We talk to Republicans about the latest news in the Idaho legislature. Now here are Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Well, top of the morning, Majority Thursday. Senator Clifford Beyer is here from District 21. And alongside Jason Monks, Representative Monks, is from District 22. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Kind of an interesting thing that's going on nationally that could have an effect locally, especially with the new head of the Education Association. Representative Raul Labrador, who we'll have on next half hour, has signed on a bill to mothball the U.S. Department of Education at the end of next year, which would, I assume, give more control of education to states. How do you guys feel about this?
I think that'd be a great idea if we could have a little bit more control here at the state level. That's probably one of the number one complaints that we receive often, is that our local districts are being dictated to as far as what they have to do and what they have to teach.
If there were no National Department of Education, then, I mean, I suppose there would still be an Idaho Department of Education, and we could decide what our own test scores ought to be.
Well, there's some truth in that. We would still have our infrastructure for education in Idaho as a state, as would every state. But I can tell you one of the most frustrating things that I've seen over the years are these mandates that come down on a national level that try to make one size fit all. It's good to have standards, but you also have to have flexibility and choice. You know, no two kids are educated the same or in the same manner, in the same timelines. And so, yeah, there are a lot of problems with these mandates that come from the federal level.
Yeah, and usually they come with the stipulation that if you pass this, you get federal money, but if you don't, then you probably won't.
Yes, you get some of your federal money back, maybe some deficit spending. There's all kinds of fun aspects to that.
Exactly.
What do you guys generally think of the state of education in the state of Idaho? Give us a grade, A, B, C, D.
I think we're about middle of the road there. What I find the most disheartening usually is when we talk about education, it seems as though we always compare ourselves to other states. And the comparison, I don't think, is necessarily fair. The comparison always has to deal with how much money we spend on the children as opposed to what the outcomes are. And if you look at the outcomes, Idaho does fairly well in comparison to the rest of the country. And to only look at whether or not we spend more money than another state is not really a fair comparison. And I think we have some wonderful teachers here. We have some wonderful school districts. They do a fantastic job of educating our children. And having had a lot of children go through the education system here, I think they do a fairly good job. And I just wish we would be a little bit more transparent in how we talk about education, how we rank to the rest of the state. Because most often when we talk about that, all we hear is how, you know, Idaho is number, 49. And thank goodness for, Mississippi or some other state out there. But, really that only is dealing with we're talking about funding. And that's really not a fair way of looking at it. Because if you look at funding only, places like Washington, D.C. Spend more money than anybody else, and their results are not very good.
I think Washington, D.C. spends more money than anybody else on everything. There's a House panel that introduced a bill limiting Indian gaming machines, especially the ones that kind of resemble slot machines, much like the what happened last year with horse racing. What is the main purpose for that? I mean, and how much say do we have over what goes on the reservations?
As far as the purpose, I'll start there. I would hate to try to tell you what another legislator's purpose is of doing any legislation. I think it's more of a fairness issue as far as really what do we want to have here in Idaho as far as gaming. There's been some issues that have come up. Just a few days ago, we had legislation that came across the House floor dealing with touch tab machines that did not pass. And, you know, we had years ago, we had the horse racing machines, and this is the lottery. And I think it's indicative of just, I think, the concerns about the legislature is where we want to go with gambling in Idaho. And this is just one more issue that I think people want to talk about a little bit. And you know, that's an interesting concept. You also asked, what say does the legislature have? And the legislature has a lot of say in that. With how we do that, but more importantly is what our Constitution says that we can allow here as far as gaming. And that's where we keep having these issues where we kind of keep bumping into the Constitution. And I think people want to keep pushing how far that that can stretch and bend. And I think we need to have a discussion where the people of Idaho really decide how much gambling we want in Idaho.
I always I always wondered how much say we have over what goes on the reservations. And I always kind of figured we didn't have much, and that's where the Indian casinos came from in the first place.
Well, no, actually, they have to follow the Constitution of the state of Idaho. And if the Constitution of the state of Idaho bans slot machines, they can't have them.
Yeah.
I mean, allegedly.
Well, and that's a very good point, whether it's tribal or reservation or other. There are concerns in regards to statutory provisions and meshing with constitutional guidelines and what's legal and what's not. And sometimes these definitions do get in a bit of a gray area, and they lend to a lot of these dialogue and bills that get put forth. And, you know, consider and changes with technology, all kinds of variables. So these things get revisited every so often.
Yeah. We're talking with Senator Clifford Bayer of District 21, Representative James Monks of District 22. KBOI News Time, 8:45.
You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 8:50. It's Idaho Talks Live on a Majority Thursday. We're talking with Representative Jason A. Monks from District 22 and Senator Cliff Bayer from District 21. Let's talk some taxes. I know that both of you have maybe some, you know, some bills that you're going to be at least sponsoring or co-sponsoring that have to do with taxes. For instance, the grocery tax bill.
Yes, thank you. That's been a moving target for several years now. 37 states do not have sales tax on groceries. Some don't have sales tax at all, to be fair. But, you know, we have a state with a lot of border communities in Idaho, and our surrounding states lend to a landscape that's not very kind to that retail market. We lose a lot of business to folks going to neighboring states to buy things like groceries and such. And so the money's there. We have a grocery tax credit, which folks get back on their income tax filing, and it doesn't take very much additional general fund to bridge that money, to change that tax policy from that to taking it off at the register. It's actually a jobs bill. The more you go to a place like Fruitland, the more border community situation, you'll see that there are boarded up stores and there are other stores that's the main reason they won't locate there. So that's one thing that we could do that would be tax friendly. And apply across the board to all Idahoans.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, the tax. Do you find a lot of support for this? I mean, for instance, people in the grocery business, for instance.
Well, there's a lot of support. We're working right now. This bill has not been introduced. We're working on co-sponsors. It's a grassroots bill. There's really not as much of a traditional lobby effort in its behalf. There are some grassroots lobby organizations from the ag sector to food banks, all across a broad spectrum, that are working on advocating for this. But it really is more grassroots. There's a lot of support, and that's why we're taking the time to gather up co-sponsors on the legislation.
Would you have like a halo effect, like within 15, 20 miles of a border, something like that, rather than, you know, half mile from the border? Would there be a kind of a halo effect, so you know, a store on the east side of Fruitland, you know, would also get a break rather than just the stores that abut to Oregon?
Well, the policy would be for everyone. It would be statewide policy.
Oh, I got you.
Regardless of where you were located. I point out border communities because it's a real gold standard example of revenue being lost and jobs and stores and businesses closing in some of our Idaho communities.
Do either of you have any problems with the way that our state sales tax is currently distributed?
Yes, actually. The simple word is yes. It's very similar to how our funding goes for our schools as well. If you'll notice, the amount of funding that happens for West Ada, for example, is minuscule compared to other districts as far as how much money they get. And people that live in West Ada, they're kind of on the short end of the stick there. Sales tax distribution is no different. You also find that growing communities have been shortchanged for a long time. The first time that the distribution model was put together was back in the 60s, and it was based on property values and populations, and it was updated in the 90s, but hasn't been updated since then. And if you look at the size of, Meridian, for example, how much it's grown in that period of time, and yet the distribution model is still based on old numbers and old data, that they are they're receiving about 10 times less than they should be, and that's fairly significant. And that's something I definitely think we need to address quickly, and this year would be a good year to be able to address that. And so any of the communities that have been growing over the last, 10, 15 years really are being kind of shortchanged on that.
We have just about 1 minute left. How are we doing on road funding in the state right now?
Well, we're still behind. And, that's infrastructure, I would say, that rises to the top in the sense of that's something that nobody can do for themselves. It's a very valid expenditure of fees and tax dollars. The question is how to pay for it. One of the debates I'd like to participate in are more general funds. That's the term we use for the revenues that go to the state, mainly from sales and income tax. 9 out of 10 states have general fund complement to their transportation budgets and to their funding for roads and bridges and such. If we have this excess revenue, maybe that's a good debate to have, consideration to make the most of those tax dollars.
And tax revenues for the month of January up $23 million. You're up $92 million over last year. Would you like to be able to see this slid into helping with the roads?
There's a good way to do that, to grow into it. It doesn't have to be couched as competitive with education and other general fund obligations, because as the revenue grows, you can adjust your priorities. You can make room for making the most of those tax dollars.
All right. Thank
Senator,
you guys.
Senator Baer and Representative Monks, we thank you for your time this morning on KBOI.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, top of the morning. We are back. KBOI News Time, 9:07. First District Congressman Raul Labrador joins us via the KBOI live line. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am very, very well. You voted to confirm Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. Why did you vote that way, and what do you think of her?
Actually, I did not. In the House of Representatives, we don't have a vote.
Gotcha.
For this education secretary, it's actually something that confuses people a lot. We received several calls in our office asking us not to vote for her. I did not, I don't know her entire history because we weren't looking at it, but I don't see any reason why I would not have voted for her had she been coming before the House. But I don't know all the issues that the two senators would probably know about her confirmation.
Congress, how about mothballing of the Department of Education at the end of 2018, the U.S. Department of Education? We talked about that a little bit last half hour, and a lot of people thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, we just introduced a bill this week to get rid of the Department of Education, and it's been a little bit ironic to have all these people who are complaining about Betsy DeVos and saying that they don't want her at the Department of Education, and they want more local control. Now when we came out with this idea of local control, they're the same people who are coming out and saying that they don't want us to get rid of the Department of Education. So what we really want is to make sure that the states are in complete control of the education. In fact, I would even take it to a lower level. I think we need to, at the state level, give the districts a lot more authority over what they do. What happens in Washington, D.C., you have 4,000 people in the Department of Education. They're all bureaucrats, and they're deciding for all the states how the federal money is going to be spent. And I think that's unacceptable. I think we can do it better at the local level. I think that money should be given probably to the states in the form of a grant and let the states decide. And I do believe the state then needs to let the districts decide what their specific needs. A district in Pocatello is different than a district in Coeur d'Alene, as it's different than a district in Boise. And you should let this local superintendent and school boards make those determinations on how they're going to advance the education of the local children.
Congressman, Congress doesn't exactly have a great track record of reducing bureaucracy. What do you think the odds are that these bills getting rid of the Department of Education will pass?
Well, honestly, the odds are not good because of what you just said, that Congress does not have a good track record of getting rid of bureaucracies. But I think this is an interesting time because you have a person who ran for president saying that he wanted to undo all the bureaucracies and all the things that are happening in Washington, D.C., to kind of upset the settled order in Washington, D.C. So I think some of these ideas that have been around for a while may have an opportunity under this precedent. But I still understand that it's an uphill battle.
And Congressman, you famously have said that you came to Washington to serve, you know, not to just make a career for yourself. Do we have a chance in the near future to pass congressional term limits?
So I introduced a bill a couple of weeks ago to have congressional term limits. And again, I think this is the golden opportunity. If you look at Trump's contract with the people of the United States, he has a list of things that he believes Congress should do and that he wants to encourage the American people to ask for. The first thing on his list is term limits. And it's something that's been a little bit of an evolution for me. You know, people give me a hard time that I don't change my mind very often. I actually changed my mind on this. I went to Congress having said that I don't believe in term limits, but I believe strongly at the time that the election every 2 years with the term limits on and the people had a right to choose. And I still believe that we have that ability to get rid of members of Congress. And as you've seen in my district, for example, we've had turnover, over the last few years. However, what I've noticed when I was in Washington is that it's so different than the legislature. The legislature in Idaho, there's a lot of turnover, and people go in there for a short period of time. They're not trying to make it a career because you don't make enough money in the legislature to make it a career. In Washington, you're making a lot of money, and you're pretty comfortable in the things that you're doing. And people make decisions based on whether they're going to be reelected and not decisions on what the best interests of the country are. And I think it's really important that we have, and that's why I have proposed a 12-year term limit in the House and a 12-year term limit in the Senate. So that would be 2 terms in the Senate and 6 terms in the House.
The big story today about President Trump is the fact that he is attacking Nordstrom's department store for dropping his daughter's clothing line. Should a president be concerned with this?
You know, this is an interesting presidency because I have a theory about human nature and human behavior that your strengths are your weaknesses. Everything that makes a person really strong and really good ends up also being one of their greatest weaknesses. And what you're seeing with Trump is that his greatest strength is that he can speak directly to the American people, that he can get past the media, that he doesn't have to be filtered, that he's not politically correct. All those things are wonderful about President Trump. But then that also can become his weakness, because then he starts talking about things like Nordstrom or talking about so-called judges or other things. So he needs to learn how to identify that his strength is also his weakness. And I think he could go down in history as one of the greatest presidents in American history if he learns how to tone down that aspect of his behavior that always needs to be attacking people and things on the issues that are really totally unrelated to his performance.
Well, Congressman, obviously the president set some new limits. That's what I'll call them, on immigration. And a judge halted it for now. What do you think will be the outcome of the whole situation?
So it's going to be interesting to see what the Ninth Circuit does. The Ninth Circuit is a very liberal circuit. I suspect that they will vote in favor of keeping the judge's order in Washington. However, I listened to the, I went ahead and I listened to the arguments, and there was one judge who I could not tell which way he was going to rule. So there's one judge that you could tell was going to rule against Trump. There was another judge that you were pretty sure was going to rule with Trump. But there was one judge who was the older gentleman, and I don't remember his name right now, but he was appointed by Jimmy Carter. And he had really tough questions for both sides. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Ninth Circuit does. I suspect they're going to rule with the government of Washington, of the state of Washington. But I would not be surprised if they actually rule against the government of the state of Washington, because this would be unprecedented. If you look at the Washington State Court decision, they did a very bad job in explaining how the state of Washington was going to be able to be successful on the merits of the claim. When you do a preliminary injunction, and I'm boring you a little bit with law right now, but a preliminary injunction, you have to prove that there is a likelihood of success on the merits. If you go to the decision, he doesn't even discuss that. He mentions the law that there has to be a likelihood of success on the merits, but then jumps to a conclusion that there will be a likelihood of success on the merits without analyzing it. That's a very poor decision. I was a law clerk in federal court many, many moons ago, and if I would have presented that decision to my judges here in Idaho, they would have laughed me out of the chambers, and they would say, go do some analysis before you present to me a decision like this.
Senator, I know you have to, or not Senator, Congressman, I know you have to go pretty quickly, but speaking of senators, you and obviously Senator Mike Lee are very big on the religious freedom bill. Is it coming back anytime soon, and what are the chances of it passing?
Well, it will be coming back, and we're working with the administration right now to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we write it, you know, if there's any parts of it that need to be redrafted or reworked, so it can be something that can pass the House and the Senate. I think we can pass it out of the House. It's going to have a little bit harder time in the Senate. But what we need to make sure is that we work with the administration so it's something that they can get behind and they can push the Senate to pass.
Congressman, thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Have a good day. Have a nice weekend ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. It's always great to be on your show.
Thank you, First District Congressman Raul Labrador, KBOI News Time, 9:17.
As you're stuck on
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Man, a couple more bars of this and I'll be asleep. Say, it's that time of year to surprise the one you love, and I'm going to tell you how you're going to do that, but first.
Well, 670
KBOI rewards code.
Oh, good point.
Is TERM, T-E-R-M. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter TERM, and earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Now. It's that time of year to surprise the one you love, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. 670KBOI would like to be your Cupid for Valentine's Day.
Stupid Cupid, you're a real mean guy.
Mm-hmm. we're giving away.
I'm going to clip your wings so you can't fly.
In conjunction with Lee Reed Jewelers, an 88 Rue du Rhône watch for your better half.
Head over to KBOI.com and register today. The watch is showcased. Listen to this.
Okay.
By 88 diamonds set in black stainless steel.
That's a good number. Yeah. We'll draw a winner during the morning show on the 13th, which is this Monday. So you might want to get to KBOI.com right away and see the watch and also enter the contest.
Yep. Good luck from your funny little Valentine, 670 KBOI. And it's a good deal. You have a lot of fun. If you need to get that Valentine's gift, do it.
Believe, and you can be a winner.
88 Ron Deron watch.
I thought it was interesting when we were talking to Congressman Labrador. You know, you brought up the whole thing about Nordstrom's, and he said that, I like the way he put that. He said that your strengths and your weaknesses tend to be sometimes the same things. One of the strengths that people say the president has is the fact that he can talk plainly and he can talk right to the American people, so you don't have to wait like a couple of weeks and, you know, find out what he's thinking. On the other hand, you tend to hear everything he's thinking.
Yeah. He's wrong in this Nordstrom's thing. You got to knock it off. I mean, he can't. Basically, did he or did he not say, tear up your Nordstrom's credit cards? Was that him or was that somebody else? That was, what's her name? His blonde-headed Kellyanne.
Kellyanne Conway, yeah.
Conway.
Well, it is an odd thing for a president or even somebody
you
working
me,
for a president.
It's an odd thing? It's again the law, I would think.
Yeah, I think that was kind of ironic understatement, but it is. And you know, Congressman Labrador even said, he said, this is, so far, it's a very interesting presidency. And by that, he means we haven't had one exactly like it before, ever.
But, I mean,
at least not one that's been reported on quite so often.
A president can't mess with free enterprise just because he doesn't like a move they made, a move that was perfectly legal, a move that was based on no sales.
Well, and also,
kidding
you know,
me?
He and Ivanka both have said that they won't be part of the business, you know, end of what they do for the next 4 years. But it turns out they might.
KBOI News Time, 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
All right, it's 37 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Thursday morning. Open phones Friday coming up mañana. Don't forget that. And one more time, it's a time of year to surprise the one you love, and 670 KBOI wants to be your Cupid. We're giving away, in conjunction with Lee Reed Jewelers, an 88 Rue du Rhône watch for your better half.
And the reason they call it 88 is because it has 88 diamonds.
88 diamonds. Head over to KBOI.com. Register now. The watch is showcased by 88 diamonds set in black stainless steel. It's absolutely gorgeous. We're going to draw the winner during the morning show Monday. Go to 670KBOI.com. See the watch. Enter the contest. And good luck.
As they say, do not delay. Do it today.
Yeah.
Because Monday it'll be too late.
Where the White House saw a father standing up for his daughter, an ethics expert saw an implicit threat. I simply like nothing about this story.
Mm-hmm.
President Donald Trump lashed out Wednesday at Nordstrom, the latest company to draw his Twitter attention, saying the department store chain that decided to stop selling his daughter's clothing and accessory line has treated her so unfairly.
Well, it's business, you know. That's kind of something that people have repeatedly said about his organizations.
Yeah, they say that.
Yeah,
he doesn't pay. He doesn't do this.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. Like sometimes he won't pay, and he'll take you to court instead.
Yeah, though Trump has tweeted in the past about companies such as the U.S. automakers Boeing and Carrier, his action drew a rebuke from ethics experts, saying the fact that this one was about a business run by his daughter raised conflict of interest concerns. Trump's tweet follows revelations that First Lady Melania Trump expected to develop, listen to this, a multi-million-dollar business relationship tied to her presence in the White House, according to a suit she filed. She was going to have First Lady makeup.
Yeah, normally.
Are you kidding me?
Normally, the president and the First Lady do end up making a lot of money in almost every administration, but it's usually from
It's not retail.
Well, it's usually from book deals and exorbitant prices for giving a lecture.
In the tweet, Trump said, "My daughter Ivanka has been treated so unfairly by Nordstrom. She has a she is a great person. Fine. I think she's a great person. She's fine. No problem with her. Always pushing me to do the right thing. Terrible." Posted first on his personal account, it was retweeted more than 6,000 times in less than an hour. It was also retweeted by the official POTUS account, President of the United States
and
account.
That's what some people had a problem with.
I have a problem with that.
It's an official federal government account, the POTUS account, at the real Donald Trump or whatever it is. That's not an official one, even though they're, from the same guy.
Trump's presidency has raised unprecedented concerns about ethical conflicts. His plan to separate himself from his sprawling real estate business has been criticized by ethics experts. I haven't seen anything that bothers me there so much, who say it doesn't do enough to make sure that Trump won't make decisions to personally benefit himself, his family, or his company. The First Lady has yet to step away from her companies that manage her royalties from namesake products, business documents show.
And again, and I'll say this just so I guess I personally won't sound hypocritical, but, I don't agree with some of the things that he's been doing or been saying. However, the main difference between Trump and other presidents is that he's doing it out in the open, and they were not doing it out in the open, but we're still kind of doing it.
So you're saying
none of them come out of the White House, and apply for food stamps.
Except for Truman. Truman was broke when he got out of the White House.
Okay. How about none of them since Truman?
That would work.
Well, okay.
That would work. But here's the deal. He's messing with free enterprise.
Yeah.
And his flack person is saying, cut up your Nordstrom credit card.
Yeah. And it's weird on one hand to essentially be proposing things that would indicate that business would be much more free to do whatever they want. And then on the other hand, criticizing a business for doing whatever it wants.
So let me see if I get where you're coming from.
Okay.
Say Bill Clinton's daughter,
Chelsea
had a clothing line.
Okay.
And
I'm not sure that would be terribly successful, but okay.
And they dropped it at Nordstrom's. You're saying that he would work.
He'd probably drop that at Shopko. Go ahead.
Okay, they drop it at Shopko.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is that Bill Clinton, instead of being overtly whatever, like Trump, would work behind the scenes to somehow disparage Shopko? Is that what you're saying here?
No, I don't believe those were the exact words I used. On the other hand, yes. I would not put it past him. I've never had the feeling that he didn't have at least some of his own, personal interests at heart.
Kathleen Clark, a government ethics expert, said the Nordstrom tweet is problematic because other retailers may think twice now about dropping the Ivanka Trump brand.
Or picking it up.
For fear of getting criticized. Yeah, or picking it up.
I mean, to me, this would prevent some other retailer from saying, oh, we'll snap that right up because, she's bound to be popular, blah, blah, blah. Now they'd say, no matter what happens, this is going to be a huge hassle.
Apparently, she's in other stores.
Yeah.
For fear of getting criticized by the president.
Now, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Nordstrom's, large corporation, in the business of making
clothes.
Well, and making money.
Right.
That's their business. They try to make money.
You're back.
And they try, as every corporation does, to maximize the amount of money that they make. Do you think they are making any business decisions based on the fact that they don't like somebody's politics, or was this strictly and truthfully because her line wasn't selling that well?
It's because her line wasn't selling that well. If her line was selling off the shelves, No way they would have dropped it.
See,
no way.
That's kind of what I think about it, too.
No way. They're in, and they know how to make money. That's what they do.
I suspect it's not the image or anything. I suspect that the reason it wasn't selling that well is everything was kind of overpriced.
Well, yeah, but a lot of stuff at Nordstrom's is. And it's still,
but see, they quietly drop some things.
True. Yeah, it's not like this is the first thing they've ever dropped.
Can't find that anymore, but we didn't, you know, put out a press release about it.
Yeah, once again, Kathleen Clark says, especially disturbing, Trump retweeted the message on his White House account.
Yeah.
The implicit threat was that he will use whatever authority he has to retaliate against Nordstrom or anyone who crosses his interest, says Clark, a law professor at Washington University in St. Louis.
Since January 20th, I have never heard a single person say, wow, I wonder what the president's thinking right now. Not that they said it a lot before that, but there's absolutely no need to wonder. You know, he is pretty upfront with stuff. And generally, I think that the reason, part of the reason he gets so much criticism, I mean, of course, a lot of people don't like his decisions, but part of the reason is because every one of his decisions is completely transparent. He just says, I know this isn't popular, I'm going to do it anyway.
So you're okay with this?
Not necessarily.
You're lining up with...
No, I'm not lining up with anybody.
With Raul Labrador, who thinks it's okay.
If it works out well, then I think it's okay. I will reserve judgment. I mean, he hasn't even had his first 100 days yet.
If it works out well, meaning what? Nordstrom's goes bankrupt?
Let's start for if it works out well for me, and then move on to everyone else in America.
I'm not following you.
Okay. No, I'm just saying any of his decisions, any of his, you know, his tendency to, you know, to criticize people openly, to insult people, you know, if he gets mad, he says he's mad, he doesn't act like he isn't, or, you know, try to be, you know, terribly diplomatic and not get his point across. He simply tells you what he is thinking. And yes, a lot of people do not like that. A lot of people think, well, diplomacy is the whole reason we elect somebody, except maybe this term.
Do you think ethically it's okay for him to mess with free enterprise?
I'm going to say probably not. Yeah. On the one hand, the way he looks at it, he was defending his own daughter. I would do that. You would do that. On the other hand, the president of the United States really isn't supposed to tell everybody to, and neither are the people who work for him, supposed to tell everybody to cut up their credit cards and never go to a store again.
That's some scary stuff.
Indeed.
Scary stuff. 9:46. All right, so we are back, KBOI News time, 9:51. Let's go to the phone, Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
How are you doing, Paul Jay? It's been a while.
It has been. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I just love it. I just love it. You know, these poor snowflakes and these academia and the media and all these fake news guys, you know. The bottom line is, man, is this... Nobody, the liberals have never had to take no for an answer, including high college students and everything. So they're just going nuts. You know, President Obama was voted in twice. I didn't like it. I didn't like a lot of his policies, but I didn't burn cars, beat people up, tear things up, destroy people's private property as well as government property and with no accountability. But you know what? The accountability is coming down. And I hope he does cut off the funds to Berkeley and all these liberal places that, you know, hey, as long as everybody's agreeing with you, it's okay to speak your mind. But when somebody disagrees, yeah, that's how it is.
Well, yeah, that's Bruce's big thing.
Yeah, that's Berkeley in a nutshell.
Yeah. Hey, you know it's the truth. These guys, there's a difference between standing on the corner with a sign and protesting and not agreeing with something and then throwing bricks at people and burning cars and everything. And there's no accountability. You know, we got a guy right here. You're going to start being held accountable for that activity. That's criminal activity. That is not even legal. So we'll see. I hope they pull the trigger, man. I hope he puts the hammer down. Finally, somebody who's got some guts. It's awesome.
All right, Steve. I'm not sure I'm fond of pull the trigger, but whatever. Let's go to Kevin and Meridian.
Just an expression.
Yeah, Kevin.
Good morning, Paul. What you guys are saying is when anybody becomes president, they lose... that comes more precedent than being a father or a human being, the right for speech. And I think that's incorrect.
No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is you can't use your office. I mean, it's all right for Donald Trump. I mean, if I was Donald Trump and you were my friend, I'd say, can you believe what they did to Ivanka? That's some horse crap right there. I'll never shop at Nordstrom again, but I wouldn't go on the official account of the President of the United States and rip a store for taking out my daughter's stuff, which wasn't selling. That's
again,
not right.
He's President of the United States, and he can do that.
It's no, you can't do that. You got to have some ethics. Ethics.
I think that's being where, you know, you're being too touchy-feely.
Touchy-feely? He's messing with private enterprise. You can't do that.
He can speak whatever he wants.
Oh, no, he can't. Yeah, I mean, you have to have some diplomacy. You can't just, I mean, you can't come out tomorrow morning and say, I don't like Walmart. I think you should all tear up your Walmart cards and don't shop there anymore.
Now, apparently you can
say that.
Apparently you can if you're in Congress, because a lot of people have. But the president, is supposed to kind of give his general opinion on things, but he can't just attack somebody.
So you want him to powder coat things, you know, and
what's he powder coating? They dropped his daughter's line. It wasn't selling.
No, I'm saying you want the president to powder coat things, you know, to soften things up so that, you know, he doesn't really say what he's feeling. And that's, you know, and to me, he's being a father first, you know, and a president second.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. We're out of time. Thanks for the call. It's fine to be a father first, but and a president second. Boy, I don't know. You can't use your office to attack a retail store.
Yeah, I think generally, if he stepped up the diplomacy just a little bit and thought about some of the things he said instead of just reacting, a lot of people might prefer that.
Yeah. No harm, no foul? I don't know. We'll talk about it tomorrow on Open Phones Friday.